I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with midwifery business consultation and empowering midwifery education. Edith Eze is a certified nurse midwife in New Jersey and from Nigeria. We did an interview a couple months ago, I think it was in March, and I asked for her to come back again because we had so many wonderful conversations and people really enjoy hearing about your experience and your words of wisdom. So before we hit record, Edith was we were talking about international midwifery because I get a lot with the consulting side, United States midwives wanting to help other countries, wanting to know training, experience, what they should know to help prepare. And then the other direction, midwives across the country that want to come to the United States and how do they get through that educational challenges. So take it away, Edith, if you want to introduce a little bit of your background, if someone hasn't seen your last interview, and then you can dive into our conversation we were having before record.
Okay, this is Edith Eze, one of the midwives. Midwives are started from Nigeria. I did my midwifery in Nigeria. When I came over, I also continued with my midwifery. I went back to school, actually, of course, from my first introduction, and acquired my bachelor's in nursing, and then went in and do my master's in midwifery here. And I since 2021, I've been a midwife in the United States. And then so do I answer that question about
you are perfect. Yep, that was great. Sure. Nice background of your experience. So they hadn't seen the other one, they understand. But yes, you had some wonderful advice about educational background and how do we support midwives in the US and the midwives in developing countries so that we can support each other on a larger scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I thought it's wise to start from the educational part in the midwifery. Yeah, I was suggested, in my own opinion, I was suggesting that educating the midwives internationally, we can have a program that the midwives from United States can transit to outside this United States, because the notice that outside the United States from the midwifery I did, we were empowered. Delivery is in the hands of the midwives. When we get into problem, then that's when we call our MD, collaborating physicians. So if the midwives will leave, students will leave here, be it part of the curriculum, even if it's like 3 months or 6 months, whatever it is. I know our midwifery year is short, but even few months to go outside and then join the midwives that are doing deliveries outside the United States, they are actually, they will impact on them bringing what United States have for mid in delivery. And then they will get a lot from outside United States, developing countries, because they will be empowered. They will deliver as many babies as they want to deliver. They will be in charge of delivery. I mean, under the supervision of most of those midwives who are really seasoned, who've been doing it. They will meet the women. They will see how the women go through labor. They will see how they achieve everything that we want to achieve, healthy mother, healthy baby, over there still. They will see how they manage their pregnant women and they go through. And it's like, it's a natural thing that outside here is natural. Yeah, I see that most of the time here, you know, some of the areas they think is a sick visit they're coming. It's not sick visit for pregnant women. So where I work here, I impacted on everybody, every one of my patients. I said, you know, when you come in, I'm taking care of you as a healthy woman who is going to have a healthy baby, and you will be healthy by the time you get to the end. If I could take care of you this way, you will be able to have your baby naturally and healthy. You know, anybody can catch the head, actually. Yeah. But you have to, you know, we have to take it from here, and you understand your body and you get empowered. The reason why we have a centering program, actually, in my organization, I help to bring the centering. I help to establish health centering program in our organization. So, and the women get empowered. So the international women, they're doing centering. I told them when I went to centering training that actually this is how we train. We gather the women together, we talk to them, we carry them step by step. Every time they come to the clinic, we sing, we dance, we give them education. And then, you know, they see the provider the same day. And that's what that centering program, I'm deviating from what I'm saying, but the international, they will see that internationally, some of the things they are trying to incorporate here to make it a possibility that women will understand their body and get empowered when they get to the delivery room. So they will get it outside here too. And they will help them over there. With certain things that, you know, are there that, you know, they need to learn also from here. They will impact their own knowledge from here and environmental health, cleanliness and everything from here to over there. And then they will learn a lot from them. When they come back, they will be empowered. And we need more midwives here.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of the push is the cultural diversity and getting rid of biases. And the best way to create cultural diversity is to give cultural diverse education. Like you were talking about, like if we're only teaching you how to take care of the women in your community and are maybe not a culturally diverse community because you're rural, you're in a certain setting, situation, we got to get to the core of education, like you're saying. If we can expose them to more situations, more settings, like I'm helping a couple of midwifery programs where it's really important to get past the barriers of malpractice. Can we have a requirement of not just being part of 40 catches, but making some of them home, some of them birth center, some of them hospital, potentially some of them internationally, if you could make the numbers all work and the opportunities, but how do we diversify by getting to the core of the education?
That's true, definitely. Because I came in from a background where my mother had a birthing center. So I know that women felt comfortable being within the home, and they call her up, she gets her lantern and she's there. They are in her room in the delivery area before you know it. So I grew up listening, hearing them coming with mourning and then leaving with joy with a baby crying in their hands. So it became a natural thing to me. And then I decided I'm going to be a midwife like mother. So, but it's so different when I came over here. I never practiced in a birthing center here, just simply because of, you know, the way our midwifery is structured here. And people are so scared of this lawsuits, and it's always incorporated, or be, you know, this, that, be, and then the patients are always thinking about it. Over there, you know, like it's a joyful thing when they deliver, they are so appreciative to whoever that helped them get through this labor, this painful period. Nobody thinks about, have that in mind. And I tell you honestly, by God's grace, I did not see any of those incidences while I was growing up. Yeah, except in a rare situation where things happen, you know, serious high risk patients, yeah, that I've watched with like a severe preeclampsia that were, you know, it was just not in the hands of the people taking care of them, but ignorantly they stay home, and then by the time they get to the hospital, it was too late. Those are the things that, you know, and midwives, they take charge. Especially when I went to school here, I noticed the mechanism of labor was what we were taught so thoroughly, back what I was taught that, and we like memorize it when you know the head get down, the restitution, this. So you have it so much on your head. So during the training here, there was not much time actually to I actually ask that to be in the school to teach students mechanism of labor with the pelvis and door, you know, because that's what we did in our midwifery. We did it so much so that the midwife would know even the pelvimetry. You are doing the pelvimetry so you don't fall into problem. I still do it now when I do my third trimester lab. I still check if it wasn't my patient from the beginning. I check their pelvis when they are beginning. So you will not have to think about whether the head will be able to come out and then end up with cephalopelvic disproportion. So if you are able to know that this pelvis cannot carry the baby, you right away tell the MD, sign it over, and let the MD know that this patient is going to end up with cesarean. Rarely though, but it still is there, could be there. Yeah, so certain, we try to avoid dangers when before it comes, and then it works out good, very well for midwives. Yeah, no, the incidences of what the MDs will think that midwives are not capable of, it doesn't happen. The incidences are very low.
And I think you talked, especially being such a large culture shock from going from Nigeria to the United States, cultures take time to change. But I think sometimes reminding midwives that it's the momentum of every single one of us doing our part and doing, even though it seems tiny in our eyes, it's the momentum of everybody empowering and consistently improving advocacy. And is there any other things you could see to help improve that empowerment besides the opportunity to go internationally and see how other cultures are doing things? Do you have other great tips to help with the change, to help with getting empowered around normal birth mindset?
We need to support each other. I was hoping to see a lot of midwives that I'll precept. I did one that came into 2021. But then this year I know they're looking for sites. I know, but they have to work hard to get the sites for the students, because the students call me to help them. I cannot do it because my organization, long time ago, I was able to say, come and join me. Then the organization stopped it. So now the faculties will actually work hard with for these students to get, if they have to travel to go to the center, to the administration to talk to them. I get the nurse practitioners, women health nurse practitioners, but I was hoping to get more midwives. Not that I precept them. I have one right now. Was a nurse practitioner. There was a midwife that was calling me, and I directed her to the CMO's office. Incidentally, I wasn't sure what happened. She was struggling on her own to get a preceptor. And I accepted, I told her that if the faculty goes through the organization, I'm willing to take her. And we were planning that to be this summer. In fact, it was spring, and our administration changed. Our CMO assist left during the, because she didn't want to take a COVID vaccine, sorry. And then our CMO changed. And then right there, she got lost in the, I couldn't hear from her. Yeah. But who I have now was somewhere was arranged. I was called up. And I was told that they have a student who wanted to have an internship with me. And I then when I got her resume, it was a women health. Well, we started to take women health in our organization now. Previously, we said, no, we were taking only midwives. But now they're taking women health. So the organization figured out, well, if she will do very well, maybe they will hire her. So this is the same thing with the midwife. If, in fact, the midwife I precepted, I already put her name down for them to hire her. Desperate that they stopped delivery. But we have midwives that are doing deliveries. And our organization even actually say that any of our midwife, midwives they employ that wants to do midwifery, they will link her to the hospital. They will arrange for the delivery for her. So what I'm saying is that we need to support those students. We need to support them so that they can get sites for practicing.
Well, and part of the challenge I'm seeing is a lot of the midwifery schools are virtual, which is wonderful because it breaks down the barrier of people having to travel to the campus to train, but it's also making the clinical opportunities weaker and harder because now the school has to support scattered little tiny contracts that maybe they're only going to have a student there once every 5 years versus there's a campus and there's a regular contract, like a lot of the residency programs. There's no virtual residency programs, you're not trying to find scattered physician trainings on your own. You go to the medical school. The medical school has a contract with a local hospital organization, and that there always is revolving residents and there's always revolving midwives part of those collaborations. I know some of it will go to the legislator side of they get reimbursed for having residents and medical students training, but they don't get the reimbursement for the midwives and the nurse practitioners. So then there's that barrier of if they can take two students, two they get paid for, two they don't get paid for. It is a competition if they're limited on. So there's definitely things on the legislature side to make it more equal, that training healthcare providers is training healthcare providers. It doesn't matter if it was a medical training route versus a nursing starting out training route. There are a lot of opportunities, but I do see that with, it's hard enough for midwives to get clinical sites, let alone consider international clinical sites.
I understand what she said, because she's coming from Duke University, and they on the contract I was reading through. I'm like, why did we get connected to the Duke University? So the contract was right. So clear that probably the school are trying to give something.
Yeah, because there's like University of Michigan and Wayne State are in Michigan, and they have regular contracts with the University of Michigan Hospital. So they constantly have confidence that their midwifery students will get clinicals because they have a long-term relationship. It's always happening. But a lot of these wonderful schools, like I went to Jefferson University, that was Philadelphia at that time, you're kind of solo. Like in Michigan, if there's not a well-established contract, Bronson and Kalamazoo was the only option that I could find, unless you really had the right connections and you knew the navigation of a bigger system. You're kind of trying to be that minority, trying to squeeze into train versus there's a regular contract in place that they're continually knowing every semester there's always going to be a midwife from that program.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm starting to understand why, because we have a school of midwifery just down the road. I mean, New Jersey School of Medicine and Dentistry had school of midwifery, and they had, I heard they didn't have students for 1 year or two, but somebody called me one time and I said, of course. Yeah, arrange with the organization, but it never happened. And I kept thinking, what is going on? Probably it's about the money.
It's the complexity of the system. And I think it's important for midwives and midwifery students to understand both sides, because how can we advocate for ourselves if you two are trying to connect, but there's five pieces above you that neither side understands? It makes it very difficult. So it's looking in the mindset of, if there's a local school and they do on-site training, it might make more sense for you to advocate for, like, let's work on a contract, because it is hard. If you know confidently you're going to have a student constantly, it makes more sense for the hospital to do all the paperwork involved versus just mm-hmm. one every 5 years. They have to pay someone to do that paperwork. So unfortunately, it's a business structure. You have to think of if you can get potentially two contracts, and one is always going to give you a student over and over again versus one is going to give you a student potentially one every 5 years, they're probably going to lean towards working on the one that gets them a regular.
Yes, that's true. So that's what it is. And as midwives we are, when a midwife comes in for training, we should give them support, complete support, you know, so that they don't fall out.
Yeah. They get burned out before they're even midwives. And I think the last question, maybe for the last 5 to 7 minutes, would be just what you're seeing with our culture and being fast paced, more stress and worries of liability. I'm seeing a lot of burnout with midwives and healthcare practitioners the last year and a half, more than ever before. I would love your feedback and advice from seeing a slower pace in a different culture, what it can be like, tips you have.
Oh boy. Yes. Burning out is the best way to put it. Actually, even where I work, that we're doing ambulatory. Yeah. If I tell you that in my schedule, yesterday was supposed to be 66 patients.
How?
You will not believe it. Believe it or not. 66 version, and then I had to call up, and then I will say, is this supposed to be a desperate fire that I do 10 hours? And I call, and then they start rescheduling the patients, and they start rescheduling patients, and then they reschedule the patient to 45, and then they left it at 45. What we were told was that at that 10 hours, they would schedule 45. At 8 hours, they would schedule 35. And then because of they have the mindset of a no-show rate.
Yes. That's hard. You can't control. I mean, you can say, well, it's kind of like birth was like, well, they're going to be an average of 5 in a month. But what happens if they all decide to come? What happens if all of them decide to show up? Because it's an average. And it's a lot.
So we have that in mind, that there's going to be a no-show rate. Some of our sites may have really the no-show rate is so high, but you know, there are other some sites the patients are, you know, like must be there, they will get there whether it's raining or shining or whatever, they walk to the clinic. So now we have that mind that the no-show rate, but then if you put that kind of number and every one of them shows up, so what do you do? That's what happens from time to time. That's the burnout time that we're talking about. Then at the hospital, I'm not sure, we are lucky. I am very happy that the hospital that most of my patients attend birth, the hospital that have a group of midwives too. Yeah, I leave them, I usually leave them in the house of midwife. When we through the whole antepartum, I will be telling them, if you need a midwife to deliver you when you go to the hospital, they accept that. They would tell them, they will accept if they say, we want midwives. They will let them deliver them. And because we also have that set of program, like the centering program, it makes our patients very empowering. They told me, the midwives over there always tell me that when they come in, they know the patients that attended centering, because they are all knowledgeable of whatever, everything that they're doing, because throughout the 10 sessions they learn everything that they need to know. Amazing. So that is one thing that is also good. So I'm happy when we left the hospital a few years ago, because of finances too, we don't have charity care with our organization. So the hospital have charity care. So we leave the delivery in the hands of the hospital. So, but this hospital have midwifery group, so which I appreciate it. So that is the thing. They, I think they have enough over there, but they still have a lot, because patients, some patients that prefer midwifery I don't think they have as many of those midwives to take those. Yeah, but at my own clinic, I am happy because they choose to find me. They choose to work with me. Mm-hmm. But then now what I did, I tried to structure it in such a way it will help me. What I did was I asked them to move all the GYNs to my weekend to work, weekend every other weekend, so that I'll be able to at least concentrate on the OBs during the week. So that's what I'm doing right now.
And that's well, it's wonderful that you're at a place, because I think part of the burnout is midwives feel like I've got all these patients to see. It seems like you've been well established, you're respected with your organization, that you can call and say, okay, I'm not doing 68, I'm doing 44, because I get it. I understand that sometimes people don't show up, but I'm also a human being. Some organizations, the midwives don't have that opportunity to advocate for themselves. They just, they don't even try to call and ask, because they just know this is the way it is. So I'm grateful you found a wonderful place that, and you can understand, you're not trying to say, well, I only want to see 2025, because you understand the no-show rate of your organization too. So so you're also an accommodating, and I think the big point to hit home is burnout is a two-way street. If you're in an organization where you don't feel like you can understand their challenges and also feel like you can create a win-win situation, you always have choices of other places to go. I think that's where a lot of the burnout happens. The midwives feel so disempowered themselves that there's very few jobs. I'm a new grad. I don't have much experience. I have to take this. I don't like it. And now I hate being a midwife a year later. Like, you always have choices. You always, always do. You just may not know what they all are yet.
There's always choices. They know me that I was looking for patients before. I never say no to any of my patients. But when it gets so overwhelmed that you're putting your license in jeopardy, because we also get high-risk patients. We work with dogs too. Yeah. Sometimes when they're not there, the whole patients are dumped into your template.
Well, I really enjoy speaking with you. You are such a knowledgeable woman, and I would love to do, after the summer and you've hopefully had some vacations and can keep the burnout away from doing 44 to 68 a day clients you're serving patients. I would love to chat again in like August, September with you again. But thank you so much for your time today, Edith.
Never. Thank you. And keep doing what you're doing. We find out the problem, we try to solve it.
I know. If we don't, I mean, like, just simple discussions. I think it's good to get creativity. If you didn't even know, like, the backdrop and understanding, like, this is how we solve problems. We know what the challenges are, but you have to get creative of how do you solve those challenges. So, I appreciate you greatly and everything you're doing. And you have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you.